It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
I guess we're rocking out today, huh? Greetings to you. Welcome to our rockin' show. So glad you could join us. On today's show, our guest is Dr. James Calouet. He's both a physician and an inventor. He's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in joint replacement and adult reconstructive surgery, who also holds 7 patents for medical and orthopedic technology. Dr. Calouet is a medical consultant to Dupuy, Johnson & Johnson and serves as an associate clinical professor of orthopedics at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Calouet.
Thank you, Deborah.
You sound to me like one of those guys who just can't turn his brain off at night. You know, the wheels are always turning and at work figuring out the next advancement in joint replacement. Am I right about that?
I stay busy, that's for sure.
Maybe you could talk to us about what you were dreaming about last night as you fell off to sleep.
Well, I think that all of us as surgeons always are trying to look for ways that we can improve the procedures that we do. And so actually I met yesterday with my patent attorney to file another patent on a new concept, and I would love to talk with you about it, but until it's filed I can't do that.
Well, how about some of the ones that are already in place?
Sure. Back in the late 80s, I got together with another orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Robert Clapper, and the two of us came up with an idea that would change the way that you redo hip and knee replacement. Back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, many of the implants were cemented in place with what's known as methylmethacrylate cement.
Wow.
And in order to redo a hip replacement, you would have to first remove the implant, and then you would have to chip away at the cement inside the bone without breaking the bone.
Oh, wow.
And we saw that, and it was a very long and tedious process.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a way to use ultrasonic energy attached to specifically designed tools, and what the ultrasonic tools would do is actually move through this cement, which is the same compound that you make a windshield out of. So you can imagine it's very hard.
Yeah.
And but with the right ultrasonic frequency, you can actually cut through it like butter. And so these tools really changed the way that you did revision surgery. And we founded a company. We built this thing up, and we ultimately licensed it and then sold the company to Biomet, which is a large worldwide orthopedic company.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is in use around the world today.
That is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your patients are very grateful that they didn't have to be chopped away at.
It's exciting to be able to participate in things that help change things for the better and reduce the amount of trauma that can occur during surgery.
Are there other advances in total joint replacement you'd like to talk about?
There are lots of things going on, and I've been fortunate to participate in many different aspects. Several years ago, I was involved in a project with Dupuy, Johnson & Johnson, developing instrumentation and software for computer-assisted surgery, where we actually take a system that is similar to a GPS system into the operating room, and we attach it to the leg and knees, and then while we are doing the operation, we get real-time instant feedback on a television monitor in terms of the precision of the alignment and the cuts that we're making to perform knee replacement. And it gave us a level of accuracy that is really beyond human capability. And so the normal human eye can only see down to 3 degrees of differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
This gave us accuracy down to 0.1 degree.
What was that movie where the humans are shrunk and then they go inside the human body and they go to the...
Right, exactly.
Well, and I'm sure that in terms of recovery, since you're not guessing so much and you're so precise, that recovery times are probably much less.
It does have an impact on recovery time and blood loss during surgery. So all of those things are good things for the patient.
Well, bravo, doctor. That's wonderful. Joan in Seal Beach has a question. She wants to know, what are some of the differences between adult reconstructive surgery and juvenile reconstructive surgery, and how do you approach them differently?
Sure. Juvenile reconstructive surgery, in general, if we're talking about healthy young children or teenagers, often are sports-related injuries. And
mm-hmm.
so these are typically the anterior cruciate ligament tears or collateral ligament tears around the knee,
mm-hmm.
or we can see little league elbow in pitchers, you know,
right.
10 or 12-year-old pitchers. Many of these injuries are sports-related, and this is an area that is typically addressed by the subspecialty within orthopedics known as the sports medicine surgeons, and these are cases that where we are not dealing with worn-out cartilage in a joint. Instead,
mm-hmm.
what we're dealing with are torn ligaments or tendons around the joint. And so the goal is to repair the ligament or tendon or even a meniscus. We can sew a meniscus back together in teenagers and get them back to work, or I'm sorry, back to sports.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from adult reconstruction, where oftentimes the ligaments are all intact, but the cartilage surfaces inside the joint are worn out. And so in that situation, we often have to replace that surface in order to relieve the pain and improve the mobility for the patient.
Got it. That's well answered. What are some of the most common questions you get from your patients who are contemplating having a hip or knee surgical experience?
I think that most patients want to really understand the entire episode of care. So they want
mm-hmm.
to understand what's involved, how long they'll be in the hospital, how long they will be at home before they can go back to work, what's involved in the recovery.
Right.
They all have concerns, obviously, about post-operative pain. Many of them have concerns about the type of anesthesia that we use. And so really we take time to walk through every one of these questions and answer them. And I think, again, a lot of these questions come out of either misinformation, where their close friend or neighbor tells them something that is
right.
not true, or out of fear, where they, you know, they have a relative that had a complication during surgery, and so they have tremendous fear
mm-hmm.
that they're going to have the same sort of problem.
Right. Like when I had my ACL, a lot of people said, oh my gosh, you're going to have a scar from the top of your thigh to your ankle. And of course, that wasn't true.
No, and I think what I see every day is the dark side of human nature, where people are giving what they feel is accurate information to patients, but in almost all situations, it's the worst case scenario,
mm-hmm.
and somehow the patient thinks that this is the normal scenario, and it's nowhere near the normal scenario.
Well, it's really comforting to know that you do sit with the patient and discuss these things before they go into the operating room, because in the old days, you know, the mental state of the patient wasn't always foremost in the mind of the doctor. It was just, let's get this done.
Well, I think you're right. And I think that what we've learned over time is that it is really in the patient's best interest to have a good understanding of what they're going to get into, because the patient can recover far more rapidly if they understand what's necessary for an optimal recovery. And that includes reducing their anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I think if a patient goes into a surgery with a very positive mindset, they will have a more rapid recovery.
And in the case of females, knowing that yes, you will be able to wear shorts after this really helps.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are lots of things that we can do that will help to reduce scarring, and we try to do all those things.
Right. It's a great day and age if you're contemplating hip or knee surgery, and certainly a great place to be if you're in Southern California. You have how many physicians working with you?
We have 15 now at Newport Orthopedic Institute.
Mm-hmm. And they all have their various specialties?
All of them are subspecialized, and so we have areas of focus anywhere from hand surgery to spine surgery to sports medicine to adult reconstruction and lots of other things as well.
And a little bit of rehab going on there too, huh?
We do. We have two physicians that are specialists in physical medicine and rehabilitation, and we also have a physical therapy center within our building.
Great. Today we've been talking with the innovative Dr. James Calluet, and you can find out more about Dr. Calluet by visiting hoaghospital.org. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Also, remember to share this excellent information with your friends, spouses, and your family by downloading a podcast of this show or any other 24 hours a day on demand, which just means anytime you have a little bit of extra time on your hands to listen. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Stay tuned for much, much more ahead, and thanks for listening.